Well, there's so much to talk about here on WGN at 10 minutes after 2 o'clock with any alderman that we happen to have on, because there's so much going on in Chicago. From the 25th Ward, this is Alderman Byron Cicho Lopez. Alderman Lopez, among your 49 colleagues, there are 50 aldermen, I would say these words would resonate with you more than any other alderman. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Steve.
I'm saying that because you are the father of not one, not two, but three triplets, huh?
Yes, indeed. Twin girls and a boy. They're about to be 1 year old, so definitely. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So you have four altogether.
That's right. That's right. Then we got three triplets, and then we got two little dogs, so full house.
Oh, the two little dogs. I love that. So what's a harder job, bringing up the triplets or working at City Hall with 49 other aldermen and a mayor?
Well, I tell you, they both have different challenges, I would say. But they're both again, so something that we enjoyed, especially with my wife. We enjoyed public service and, of course, a beautiful family and community.
Well, you and Mayor Lightfoot were not the best of friends. You didn't see eye to eye on lots of different issues. And when Mayor Lori Lightfoot said, "I want to be mayor again," you weren't exactly there saying, "Yes, I'm going to back you up." And in fact, Brandon Johnson found you behind Brandon Johnson, who did end up becoming the next mayor for the city of Chicago. And politically, you've kind of benefited by that. You're now a leader at City Hall, I believe.
That's correct. Yeah. I was voted by the city council in the last meeting as the chair of the housing committee. So we definitely think that many people across the city voted for change. You know, it's clear that we couldn't continue the same route. And I'm glad to be part of the Mayor Johnson's leadership team.
All right. So I want to talk about something that is related very much to housing, and that is the immigrant issue. Chicago, right, wrong, or otherwise, the reality is that we do have, and you'll tell me how many, the numbers have been all over the map, but many people coming in and probably more to come that are immigrants in record number, at least for a very long time. The number of people coming in all at once, which we, I would argue, have been ill prepared for. These poor people are living in police departments and they're sleeping on yoga mats, if they're lucky, and there's no shower facilities at most of these police departments. Now, some of that is being changed, but what is the plan for these folks? And I ask you specifically with your perspective, because you yourself, at one point, I mean, you were an immigrant, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. I migrated to the years of a minor at 17 years old still, and I do relate to the immigrant story, especially in the global South, with many challenges with the global, with global warming, with climate change, and unfortunately, many senseless wars that continue to be fought, and the humanitarian crisis that this represents. I certainly feel the suffering of people who are caught up in some of these agendas and political agendas, especially now. Is certainly as of last year, starting on August last year, the city started receiving more refugees and new arrivals. Right now, the number is up to almost 10,000 people who have arrived to Chicago and the Chicagoland area as refugees and new arrivals. And as I think you said it, you're right. I mean, as I think the public can see, the city was not prepared, even though we had plenty of time, I would argue, since August to now, to at the very least have a plan, at the very least say what the projections that we had. And again, these numbers and the number of people that we were projecting that could have arrived is in line with what we knew last year, since at least August, September. And we have since then urged the previous administration. Now we're working with a new administration that has inherited a really unfortunate humanitarian crisis that could have been, I'm not sure if it prevented, but I do think that we could have been better prepared to what we see, the tragedy and the inhumane conditions in police stations. is definitely the doing not only of Republican governors that are busing people inhumanely, the lack of federal, of course, plans, and the lack of a coherent federal agenda for immigration reform, and the poor international policies that exacerbate the humanitarian crisis, is met here in Chicago as a sanctuary city, at least for the previous administration, without a plan, even though we knew that Title 42 was going to be lifted.
All right, so you're saying Lori Lightfoot did not have a plan. The reality is that they're here. So what do we do now, Alderman?
Mm-hmm. And I just want to provide some context, because certainly the mayor is met with a tragedy where we have right now. I mean, at some point, there were almost 900 refugees that were in police stations. I think the mayor has proactively worked with especially the Latino caucus and other another elected state, county, and now federal elected to bring some solutions to this problem. So right now, the main thing and the most pressing thing is to make sure that families, especially people, are not in police stations, as you mentioned. The number as of now is about 500 people still. So we are providing at least emergency shelter right now, but we need to make sure that we have a comprehensive plan as the next state, so that we don't only provide shelter and housing for the refugees and the arrivals, but to the 60,000 residents in Chicago that currently are still looking for shelter and housing, and that has created some tensions in our communities. But I tell you that the mayor has been proactive in finding solutions. Right now, we have worked with community colleges and other partners to activate Daly College, for instance, where we are planning to relocate at, you know, between 350 or 400 refugees, and identified other locations where, at the very least, we hope to be able to make sure that families don't have these inhumane conditions in police stations, that we have emergency shelters, and we work towards a transition plan so that we welcome not only 10,000 refugees and arrivals, but also treat with dignity and respect to the 60,000 people in Chicago who are homeless or in stable housing.
All right. A lot there that I want to follow up on. And I also want to talk to you about public transportation. I want to talk about public safety and much more when we come back on WGN. It's 217. Steve Dale on WGN Radio with Alderman Byron Cicho Lopez of the 25th Ward. We're talking about, well, a lot of topics, but particularly all of the immigrants coming into Chicago, a lot of them, and lots of text here, Alderman, and some phone calls wanting to relay this question about relocation in general, specifically from the YMCA. I don't know about this. Why don't we let them stay there? Others are asking, why are we bouncing all these people all over the place? That is the nature of the questions.
Mm-hmm. No, certainly. And I think that's what we find ourselves when there's no plan, and we inherited a situation where people ended up in police stations and even airports and other places. We do have a housing crisis. We've been in a housing crisis for quite some time, and that's what we are right now urgently working on, getting more housing options, more affordable public housing and emergency housing. So I think it's something that's been neglected for decades in the city, and right now, just given the humanitarian crisis, it is unfortunately a really tragic, difficult situation. What I can assure people is that people are working collaboratively at every level of government right now under the leadership of Mayor Johnson, so that we can provide dignified and humane conditions for everyone in the city. The first step, of course, is making sure that people are not in these conditions. I know the YMCA and other partners have to step up to the occasion, including faith leaders. So what we see is something is a departure from the previous administration, which is working in collaboration with every entity, working locally to make sure that we don't pitch people against each other or people out there, people after the fact that are happening South Shore for the repurposing of the public high school. So right now we're working in collaboration with communities. There have been public meetings, identifying new sites. I think that we hope that in the next few weeks we'll be able to provide dignified conditions to people in police stations, but it's unfortunately a tragic situation that will take some time.
All right. So once they are relocated to wherever they are going, what's the plan from there? A great deal number of these people don't speak English. Many of these individuals, in fact, I don't believe any of them are allowed to work for quite some time, which I don't completely understand. So what happens at that point to these folks? Okay, they may be housed somewhere, but then what?
So the first step, of course, is making sure that they are not in police station. You have minors, kids that are in this situation. And it shouldn't be like this. Everybody has to be treated in Central City with respect and dignity. So the first time, you know, we understand that they need to come back and restart their lives in a new home. So community colleges is a good partner. That's what Bailey and White College have been set up as one of some of these sites. Several hundred people are expected to be relocated temporarily in these locations where they could access English classes, English resources, legal support, and so forth. You mentioned another key point, and that's the thing where the federal government must act, not politically, but humanitarily.
Yes.
I think that we need the federal government, just as we did in situation with Ukraine, where people and refugees arrive to the country with protected status, but they're allowed to work. Similarly, I think we cannot forget, right? So that's a step that we can do state by state. The state of Illinois, as a welcoming state, can follow suit. So we're looking at the leadership of Governor Pritzker. But separately, we cannot forget about the 11 million people, including DACA recipients, that are still waiting for immigration reform. So next year, as we will have the Democratic Convention here in Chicago, we expect to mobilize communities for immigration reform that is needed, has been delayed for long enough. And this is the time to vote for forward common sense immigration reform and international policy that stops this kind of humanitarian corridors that get worse and worse by the day. And we work towards humanitarian help and relief instead of these budgets that continue to put more money into military budgets instead of humanitarian relief and collaboration.
So is there enough money to take care of these people and also operate the city of Chicago? As you know, many residents say, how about us?
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly, I think that we have a responsibility to provide spaces for not only new arrivals, but also on housing, mental health, and services for Chicagoans in general. The city of Chicago lost, and because of poor administration, because of the lack of support and investment in communities, the disinvestment and destabilization of communities, like the closure of 50 schools, many of them remain after 10 years vacant. 50 schools that were anchors for community. We have almost 300,000 people, especially in the Black community, that have been displaced. The historic disinvestment, and again, the disinvestment of mental health clinics is felt today in the issues of violence and many other issues. What we believe is important is by investing and repurposing in each community based on the needs of communities. These 50 schools can be repurposed in community by community to start addressing the issues of mental health, housing, and so forth. We also believe that it is important for our community to remember that the infrastructure is there. We have TIF dollars, for instance. TIF dollars that in 2019 gave two developers, the Lincoln Yards, and maybe we can talk about the casino as well, and the related Midwest on the 78, $2.3 billion of TIF money. I do think that there's about $2 billion right now in TIF dollars, public dollars, that must be invested for housing, mental health, training facilities that TIF allows, so that we invest in infrastructure, including public transportation. I think that we have invested in things that we didn't need in the past, and now we find ourselves with not necessarily with the infrastructure that is needed. But the city of Chicago has enough infrastructure to support new arrivals and hopefully bring back some of the residents, especially in the Black community, that was being displaced because of the lack of investment in public housing, for instance. So I think there is a lot of work to do ahead, but I truly believe that the new leadership is building a coalition so we can invest in every corner of the city and the resources, infrastructure that we need as a city. I do believe that with the support of the federal government, county, and state, we can provide dignified conditions for every Chicagoan in the city.
Well, I like the fact that you say these immigrants are now Chicagoans because they're here. I mean, that's personal. But I do like the fact that you're saying that. A different question for you. We were talking about the downtown theater district earlier in the program, and a barrage of text came in and said, I'm not going downtown. I don't feel safe. That's the essence of what they are saying. How do you reply to that? Because we need our downtown to be vibrant.
Certainly. I think that we for too long have had a model that believe in the trickle-down economic system, but never trickle. We have invested and put even more police officers and more more and more funding in programs or areas that are not providing the results that the city projected. So I think it's important that the city changes the model. I think Mayor Johnson believes in investment in every corner of the city by us investing, especially in young kids, because let's remember, if we talk about carjacking, for instance, one of the things that people are concerned about. You know, we see that the average age of people who have been arrested for carjacking is 16 years old. I do not believe that this should be normalized. I do believe that we can do a lot more for kids. In CPS, we have between 3,000 to 5,000 kids that we know we have identified that could be even the next victims or perpetrators of violence. I think the time is now to act to bring youth opportunities, after-school programming in our districts, in our schools, bring back trades opportunities. Right now, we have thousands of vacancies in jobs for construction or manufacturing that we could fill in with local hiring, but yet we continue to allow the structural segregation and the structural racism to mandate and dictate our policies. I think this is the time to transform the city, provide help and support to communities that are suffering, especially in poor communities, investment in health and mental health, in housing. That will yield results in the long run so that we don't find ourselves in this kind of position again, seeing the lack of investment. Closer to schools, closer to mental health clinics. The root cause of all this.
I'm up against the newscast here, but boy, I have 100 more questions to ask you. So we'll have to have you on another time. I didn't get to most of them. Alderman Byron Cicho Lopez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. We go to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and then the author of a book called Gameness. It's all about landing on your feet when bad things happen.